Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour, and we're still going live. I won't be doing the from the archives until next week, because that's when I'll start traveling again. But tonight we're live with the Metaphysical Hour. Before we get started, let me give out the toll-free number in case anybody wants to call in. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227, in case anyone does want to call in and ask questions. Before we get to my guest, I do want to tell everyone that my latest book is finally off the press. The baby has been born. And I know only writers know what that feels like when you work so long to get a book out and finally it's off the press. This is the third volume for the Convoluted Universe series. And it's the biggest one I've done. It's 700 pages. And we did a pre-publication special while I was in Australia, and we have a huge stack of pre-publication orders. And we're getting emails, people wanting to know when the book's going to be mailed. You can all rest assured now it is done, and we'll be sending them out all the next week, so you ought to get them pretty soon. Finally, it's here anyway. Okay, well, tonight we're going to be talking about the UFO conference that's coming up, and this is the one in Laughlin, Nevada, and I'll be going to that. First, I have to go to L.A. next week, and then I'm going directly from there to Laughlin. And this is the biggest UFO conference in the United States. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the biggest one in the world. But my guest tonight is the new director, and she's going to tell us about it, and then we'll start talking about what she's involved with. But this is Paula Harris, is the one who is going to tell us all about the conference first. You there, aren't you, Paula?
Yeah, hi, Dolores.
Hi there.
Good evening to everybody.
Okay. First, give them the date of the conference.
Well, yes, you were right. It is the biggest UFO conference. In fact, it's called the International UFO Conference.
Uh-huh.
And the dates are Saturday, February 23rd, 2008, to Saturday, March 1st. So it's an entire week.
And it's running longer this year than it usually does, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because mainly because they're changing it around. I mean, we have 40 invited speakers, and that includes all kinds of different areas, from the UFO phenomenon to metaphysics to we even have remote viewing. We have incredible speakers this year. And with that many speakers, you do need a solid week to book them all in.
Yeah, it used to be 8 days, isn't it, or 7 or 8 days, and you've gone one day longer, I think.
Well, it's 8 days and 9 nights, so it's 8 days and 9 nights, 40 speakers and 35 exhibitors, because you know there's a huge exhibit hall where there's a lot of vendors and booksellers, and there's something for everybody. And then, Dolores, the fun part about it is, and you remember that, it's in a casino. So in Laughlin, the conference is upstairs, and the casino is downstairs.
Yeah, you always have to go through that casino to get anywhere.
Yeah, it's called the New Aquarius Casino Resort. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-huh. But I know they started a few years ago expanding away from UFOs and including other metaphysical topics.
Yeah, I think that's important, but you know, in a funny kind of way, it's all connected. One of the special guests this year is Russell Targ. He's a physicist that in his later years turned into a mystic, and he was involved in the Stanford Research Institute testing of Uri Geller. Russell Targ, yeah, he's going to do remote viewing, because he was originally involved with the SRI, the Stanford Research Institute, remote viewing program, you know, when they were testing for remote viewers, for government remote viewers. And he's one of the special guests this year. So we've got everything from remote viewers to we have Giorgio Sokolos, who is the editor of Legendary Times, that's connected with Eric Van Dunnigan. So
yes,
we
I'm
have,
not
you know,
sure.
and he's
no.
very close to Eric Van Dunnigan. So we have also ancient cultures.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good because, you know, I agree with you in my work, too. It's all connected. I remember years ago at one conference, John Mack told them that you can't explore the UFO phenomena unless you understand metaphysics. It's all connected. It all goes together.
Yeah, and the way we're looking at it, because we're in the Western world, is we're looking at it as a paranormal, and it isn't at all.
No.
Ancient cultures in the Eastern world knows that all that we call paranormal is very normal.
Yeah, it really it does all go together. We try to keep it separated over here, them and us, and it's not like that at all. That's what I've found.
No, it's all connected, but, you know, we're not our culture is one of, it's a very Newtonian kind of scientific kind of black and white situation, which eliminates the metaphysical part, which is really the reality. The reality is we live in a multidimensional world, so this all makes sense. And a conference like this includes all of it, which is fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and I've been going, I know I've been over 10 years anyway that I've been involved with it, and I've watched it grow. And oh, I want you to tell us more about the other speakers, but one thing I do like, and I think it's unique in any other conference I've ever been to, I call it almost like the Academy Award night, the night of the banquet, because people submit films on UFOs that they have made, and they submit them for judging, and they give awards on that night.
Yeah, we have a film festival, and the film festival is being run by Paul Davids, who is a Hollywood director, and he's picked films for every evening, and then there's judging of the films, and yeah, there is the EBE Award.
Uh-huh.
It looks like the Academy Award, but it's an extraterrestrial being, and that award is given to the best film, so there's plenty to do at night also.
Well, I know every year it's like Bob gets up there in his tuxedo and then the girls are in their evening gowns. So I always think it reminds you of the Academy Awards.
Absolutely. And there's just so much to have fun with. I mean, it, besides the speakers and the vendors, the vendor hall is huge. Then we have the films at night.
Yeah, they show them. And so everybody can see all the films that are contending for the awards. But who are some of the other speakers that are coming?
Well, you know, we have a wide range of speakers. We have people that speak on conspiracy theory. We have Jim Mars, who wrote The Alien Agenda and has written several books on 9/11. He's a very good speaker.
Yeah.
We have Bud Hopkins, you know, he talks, and Yvonne Smith, and they are a hypnotherapist who deal with the abduction phenomenon.
Yeah.
Richard Dolan is our keynote speaker. He's amazing. He wrote the book UFOs in the National Security State, and he talks about the UFO question being a matter of national security and secrets that are hidden from the world that need to be opened up, and he's our keynote speaker. And we have Grant Cameron from Canada, and he's going to talk on the presidential involvement all these years, all the different presidents that were involved in the UFO question. And he does this from records and archives. He's looking into the Clinton situation right now, and he'll bring brand new information. You know, the thing that's so beautiful about this, Dolores, is that we have, like, Grant Cameron from Canada and Nick Pope from the U.K., Ross Hemsworth from the U.K., Hakan Akatan from Turkey, Jaime Malsan from Mexico, A.J. Gebhardt from Brazil, and of course I represent Italy. So it's also an international conference. We have all kinds of material and all kinds of research that come from outside the country.
Well, you know, most of those speakers, I'm familiar with them because I've been on the lecture circuit so long that I know all of these. One thing about Hakan, he has the only UFO museum in the world.
Yeah, he does. And Turkey has had an exceptional record for sightings. I almost think that the sightings are connected with ecological events, because Turkey has also had a lot of earthquakes and a lot of ecological problems in the last couple of years. And Hakan has brand new film footage that he's bringing to us from Turkey.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he was asking for people to send in things to put into the museum. And he has a traveling part of the museum, too, that goes all over Europe.
Yeah, he does.
So, you know, I know about those parts. So I think these are fascinating people to come, you know, that listen to. I was trying to think of anybody else.
Well, Dr. Leo Sprinkle, I mean, he's absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the foreword to my book, Connecting the Dots. And
I used to go when he was doing the one in Wyoming.
Right. Well, he's been around a long time, a lot of these people, but he is absolutely wonderful person and very good at listening to people's stories. So if people want to come and speak to somebody about their experience, Leo Sprinkle is incredible.
Yeah, I think he's going to run the Experiencer Group this year, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that Yvonne Smith from California will be helping him, and she also has a brand new book out called Chosen, and with a question mark, and she's looking forward to releasing her book, which has a lot of incredible material. But Dr. Roger Lear will be there too.
Well,
and
yes, he's a friend also.
Yeah, he's the physician who takes out the implants from a lot of abduction situations.
But in past years, me and Barbara Land did the Experiencer Group. So, you know, I'm very familiar with how all that works. But if anybody does want to talk to somebody, this is a group that is closed. They don't have any reporters or no recordings, and you can come and tell your stories.
Right.
Uh-huh. But, I remember Roger. And, he became famous from taking the implants out, and he wrote the book, The Alien and the Scalpel.
Right, yeah, and he's gone down to Brazil to do some research with A.J. Gevard. These people are, I think, the icons in the field, and it isn't just about UFOs. It's also about scientific research. So I think that it's important to understand that. Also, J.J. Hertak, Keys of Enoch, he's an incredible speaker with his wife, Desiree, and everybody knows J.J. He's been around a long time talking about metaphysics, and he knows the Bible, he knows the different metaphysical books that have been written, and he hasn't spoken at the conference in quite a while, so it's really nice to have J.J. Hertak back and Dr. Louis Turi.
He's an old friend too, Louis.
Yeah, well, these people are quality people. They're all big names. They're quality people. There's 40 of them.
Yeah, that's one thing about Bob Brown. He has always had very good people at the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking Nancy Talbert's going to be there, too.
Yeah, she's a scientist,
she's going to be there the first night.
Mm-hmm.
She does the scientific investigation of the crop circles.
Right. She will be there the first night, and we're really happy to have her. She's going to be talking about evidence from Holland that crop circles and other anomalous phenomenon are connected. So she's going to do a lot of the connecting.
Yep.
Of all of this, and that will be on the first night, which is Saturday, February 23rd, and then there's Sunday. We have, and it's not on the list yet. We have James Fox, who's been seen on Larry King Live, talking about Out of the Blue, the documentary that he did, and he has done a lot this year to open up the UFO phenomenon as a serious situation. He's been on Larry King Live 3 times this year, and he will also be at the conference talking about the opening up of the media in this area.
Well, you know, that's what I think. Things are changing now because, you know, it used to be all this was closed, it was laughed at, but there's so many metaphysical movies and TV series coming out that finally it's coming out into the open to where people are taking it more serious.
Well, it has to be treated that way. I mean, the first thing the media has to treat it as serious. You can look at it different ways. I as a serious journalist who has lived in Europe, have not had to live through the ridicule factor that I've had to live through coming back to the United States, because in Europe, if you go to a UFO conference, the first thing that happens is it's filled with scientists, astronomers, professors, people that are curious. And we don't, in Europe, do not commercialize it as much. I mean, there's not gadgets around the whole UFO phenomenon. It's more of an intellectual curiosity. And then in my involvement with exopolitics, it's also become philosophical. You know, if this is real, and you know it's real, how does it affect our philosophy, the Earth, how humans think, how in exactly the human being's relationship to the galaxy? And that becomes philosophy. So, you know, I really believe in the extension of all of this to something in a serious study.
Yeah, because, you know, I travel all over the world, too, and I go to these conferences everywhere, and there is a big difference in the way they're treated over there than the way they are here. And I do a lot with Russia now, and they are treating all of this very seriously. And I'll be going to China this year, and they say they're supposed to be a lot more the UFO phenomena. So, you know, I think if we travel like you and I do, that we can see this happening.
Well, I used to live in Rome. I've lived in Rome for 15 years. It wasn't so much traveling. I am Italian.
Yeah.
So living in Rome, I just came back to the United States, and I was teaching at the American Overseas School there. I basically looked at it differently because, and I think the reason for this is because there's a sense of history in these places, you know. The history is 2,000 years old, where in the United States we don't have a sense of history. So we're looking at things historically in Europe.
Yeah, and I think over here, you know, it's so easy for people to make fun of it and ridicule it without even investigating it or trying to understand it. There's a wealth of information out there that they're not even aware of.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I always think if you're, for the people that are really interested, we have the conference here in Laughlin, and we have the books. I mean, they can read your book, they can read my book. There's all kinds of information. And then there's people that are really not interested, and it's okay, too.
Yeah, a lot of them just come for the fun of it. And
right.
All right. You know, some of them, I say they're taking their baby steps. You know, they're just starting to investigate, and that's all right. There's enough there for everybody.
No, I agree. It's not something that, you know, that everybody needs to be interested in. But, there, you know, it's opening up. I don't know if you noticed with the media attention and with our looking at connecting metaphysics with all of this, our questioning, the modern technology and so forth, I mean, it's opening up. There are many more serious people interested in this kind of phenomenon.
That's what I'm finding, too. Because, you know, even on the TV series and the, like, What the Bleep and all these documentaries, the movies, it's no longer, they used to make it as negative and they'd make fun of it. Now it's not. Even the TV series, they're taking it more seriously. And I think that's a step in the right direction. They're promoting the positive angle of it.
Well, it's about us. As Robert Dean, who's one of my favorite people, said.
I really like him.
I love him. I think he's great. I mean, but he's also an ex-military man who really can
well,
speak
what
to this,
about,
you know?
Is his health okay?
Yeah, he's doing okay. It's just hard for him to do a lot of traveling. And I think he said, you know, he wrote me a note, he's coming. I mean, he loves to meet everybody, so I think he'll be there. He won't be a speaker, but a lot, you know, there's a lot of people who just come, who you just hang out and come and meet everybody. It's a very social occasion.
Yeah, I haven't seen Bob Dean in several years. The last I saw, he was having trouble with his heart, so that's what I was wondering how he was doing.
Well, he's doing kind of fine, and he wrote me an email saying that he would like to come, and I think that he'll probably come and visit, which is great, because he has a stake in this. I mean, Robert Dean, when he used to do his presentation, started showing Renaissance pictures with the UFOs in them, so he knows he has a historical perspective.
Well, I know I've been trying to encourage him for many, many years to write his book. He keeps saying, well, every time I start to write it, something else happens, and it keeps growing. The whole field does. And so he said, my writing is out of date before I do it. And I said, well, still, you need to write what you found anyway.
Well, he is in my book. My book, Connecting the Dots, has 26 in-depth interviews from Zachariah Sitchin to David Icke, to Richard Hoagland, and it's got Robert Dean. And those
interviews in my book
are word for word what they told me. So Robert is in my book.
He kept saying one day he was going to write his experiences, and I said, you better do it. But, you know, I do want to say, too, we were both in the documentary Fast Walker.
Well, yeah, I'm in that, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We were both in it.
Yeah, and so is Robert Dean.
Yeah, so I was going to say he was in it also. And they said Fast Walker was the code name for UFOs.
Well, yeah, it's the NASA code name for UFOs. There's a UFO, they say there's a Fast Walker.
And every time they do one of these documentaries, they always bring in the skepticism, and I always think that spoils it. But this one, they stuck with the positive all the way through, and I think it was done beautifully.
Well, yeah, and I was honored to bring Monsignor Balducci into the X conference in Washington. He's in this documentary, too, and he speaks on behalf of the Vatican that the belief in other cultures is not against any religion, and Balducci is a historical figure like Robert Dean, like most of you, and this is an incredible documentary because it has all of this recorded testimony from all these people.
Yeah, and I thought that was wonderful that you had him because you were doing the translations for him, because that shows that the church, they can't really be against it with the way he explained it. And I think that was wonderful, that one part.
Yeah, what he actually said was that God did not just create us, he created other beings. And by our behavior, we might be at the low end of the evolutionary scale.
That's what I say in my books. They say, you mean you have all of the arrogance of the whole world to think this is the best that God could do?
If this is the best he can do, we're in trouble. In major
trouble. One thing I liked is that Bob Dean gave the closing part of the Fast Walker documentary, and it brought it all together. It was just beautiful.
Well, that's because he's involved in metaphysics, too. He's not just a UFO researcher or military man. And actually, Robert Dean did see during the Cold War photos of UFOs because he was involved in NATO in Brussels.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's about as real as you can imagine. But he also has this philosophical approach, which is so beautiful.
I wonder if they're going to be showing Fast Walker at this one, or if they did it last year.
No, they did it last year, and it won an award. However, I have several copies if people want them. I'll have them at my table because I think it's an incredible documentary. But I also think that Out of the Blue with Arizona Governor Fife Symington added to it that admits the Phoenix Lights were real because
finally,
he saw them.
Before they've been denying it for so long, they finally got around to admitting it.
Well, he's no longer governor. I mean, it's like that's why James Fox was able to get him to admit this, because he went to interview him when he was no longer governor. And James Fox will be at this conference. So people can ask him, how come Larry King is interested all of a sudden in doing so much questioning on the UFO situation? And then the sightings, the recent sightings, January 1st in San Diego. I just came back from a lecture in San Diego, and there were 9 UFOs on January 1st that flew around San Diego. And then the Stephenville, Texas sighting, which has been on CNN and so forth. I mean, we have a lot more that is being covered.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up about the one in Texas, because they said now that got major coverage.
Yeah, they did. It does not have film footage with it, and it got major coverage because of the number of people that saw this. I mean, witness testimony is ever so important. When this many credible witnesses are saying the same thing, they're not making it up.
But in the old days, it didn't matter how many saw it, they could still say, they were lying or they didn't know what they were seeing, mass hallucinations. So now they're finally starting to accept what they say. I think that's very good.
Well, I think so, too, but there must be a reason for it. As a journalist, I'm asking what the reason is. You know, I mean, what do they know that we don't know? It's like, I'm curious what's going on, because there is a more of an opening.
Mm-hmm. But you know, when you travel too, that the news in other parts of the world is totally different than the news that's in the United States. We don't really know what's going on. But over there, you get the real news that's not censored that much.
That's true. Yeah, having lived in Italy for so long, it's absolutely true. Plus, they don't have so many movie star type things like, you know, covering Britney Spears constantly and all that.
Oh, yeah.
They look at, in Europe, it's because I think there are more countries that you know, get together and so forth. It's not so isolated. They cover the whole entire European continent, and they have different priorities. I think politics is a priority over there, and over here I'm not sure what the priority is.
Yeah, but they always have been trying for years to hush everything up. You know, it just occurred to me, you were talking about the one man who was writing the books about what the president saw. Well, you know, there's others have been trying to get those records, but when they, you know, with the the ruling, if they can see the records, I can't think of the public...
The Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, the Freedom of Information Act, but a lot of them, when they got the records, they were all blacked out.
Yeah, that's true. They have been all blacked out, but at least they're made to give the records over. So people like Ryan Wood and his father, Bob Wood, that have the Majestic documents and documents dealing with Kennedy and Eisenhower and so forth... Anybody that's interested in that kind of research, I mean, that's what Richard Dolan does too, which is library-type, archival-type research, can find a case for this. I mean, if you're really interested, it's not just about, you know, witnesses in Texas seeing a huge mile-long UFO. There's also documents to support the case here. It's real interesting.
Uh-huh. But I was surprised that he was able to get the records that were not blacked out, where you could read them, you know.
Yeah, well, first of all, Grant is from Canada, and we've got a whole other thing going on there. Grant is, he's done a lot of work. I'm so happy that he can come, because having his expertise on the presidential situation gives us a whole other perspective, especially where we're in an election year here.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the fact that he's one of the guests is incredible, and then the fact that Richard Dolan is doing the keynote is going to be, for the people that are, you know, interested in the actual research, the, you know, cut and dry research, it's going to be a real honor to have these two people there. The other guests will, you know, they vary from the you know, contact phenomenon to, you know, with the Eric von Däniken, the ancient cultures, you know, it's just a little bit of everything. I'll be talking about a particular case in Italy of a contactee, but I also have faces of human-type aliens that he gave me that he was able to photograph in 1981. So when I cover this is an Italian case, and it shows that aliens also look like humans. They are not just the little gray being that's been marketed and commercialized in the United States. A lot of these aliens look like us.
I know. That's what I found in my research. Because I've written 14 books, and I've covered a lot of the same things, and I know they can look many different ways. But let's talk about you for a minute, because I think we've kind of covered the conference. Let's go talk about, how did you get involved in all of this?
Well, it was by accident. In 1979, I saw Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I had an emotional reaction to it.
Okay.
Because it at the end, you know, when François Truffaut has that contact with the beings that come out of the ship,
yeah.
You know, here I was, you know, a mother of two children, a teaching school. I'm watching this, and it just hit me. And so what happened was that I was teaching a course in science fiction, and I came to find out that Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was a scientist, this astronomer, was a consultant. So I went to Evanston, Illinois. I met Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and because I spoke Italian and am Italian, I did his Italian translations. We became very good friends. I assisted him for 6 years, worked with him for 6 years. So I'm working with the best of the best, a scientist, and that until he died in 1986. And so I became part of the real research in the beginning. And then when I moved to Italy in 1991, I was already well known for having worked with Alan Hynek, and I started writing for magazines and journals. I wrote for Nexus, and I started interviewing military people and astronauts. I'm very good friends with Edgar Mitchell.
Okay.
So most of my interviews, Dolores, are military and astronauts and people in the intelligence community that have been involved. I mean, in other words, my greatest interview was Colonel Philip Corso, who was a close friend of mine who wrote The Day After Roswell. I'm the journalist that brought Corso to Italy, where he spoke on two major occasions and admitted that he back-engineered pieces from the Roswell crash, and explained that he saw an alien body and saw also the autopsy. So when I'm talking to these military people and these astronauts and so forth, I know they're not lying. They're telling me the truth. And
yeah, because, you know, he died right after he wrote the book, so maybe this was his last thing he wanted to do.
Well, yeah, actually, he died in, it came out in 97, he died in 98, but we brought him to Europe twice, where he spoke to huge audiences, and I was able to stay with him and his grandchildren, because he brought his grandchildren with him.
Okay.
So, you know, I realized, you know, when you're with these military people, then it's real. I mean, they're telling the truth. And it's so, in my job has been mainly, I've written two books, one Connecting the Dots, which has all these interviews, and the second one on exopolitics, which means what do we do with the fact that this is real? What does the world want to do with it? When I realize it's real, then it really poses a dilemma about disclosure, because how can we make any future decisions if we don't have the cards on the table?
Yeah, but you know, when you were talking about the alien bodies, I've also investigated crashes where bodies were found that were not even known about, and it was all kept and hushed up. So I know these things are real, because the people who told me were really afraid for their life that if anybody, the military, found out they were discussing these things. It's a lot more happening out there than people realize.
Yeah, and you realize that you have a responsibility as a researcher.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep traveling and writing and talking, because we have a lot to tell. But anyway, you've written your books, and you've done a lot of investigation. Do you want to talk about some of the cases?
Well, one of my biggest interviews just recently was the ex-minister of defense of Canada, Paul Hellyer. I flew to Canada to talk to him, and he talked about, you know, being in a position of knowing that this was real and that we had to deal with it. My investigations have been, I've done the Charles Hall case, where Charles Hall was a meteorologist on the Area 51 complex in 1965, and he was putting up his weather balloons when he encountered tall lights, what he called the tall light beings, on the base. It was the Indian Springs part of Area 51. And he's written three books, called Millennial Hospitality. And I did that case because I talked to Charles in Roswell. I've been to Roswell, New Mexico several times.
Yeah, I spoke in Roswell too.
And he basically was selling his book there and speaking, and I was the journalist that took him seriously.
Yeah.
So, but the way that we investigated that, you asked me how we did that. I did it with an airlines pilot, because we worked together, and we took Charles back to the Indian Springs area and had him retell his story. Plus, we researched with the help of the Los Angeles Police Department to get four people that worked with him in 1965 to collaborate his story. We needed other witnesses, other people that knew Charles in 65 to prove that Charles was sane and knew what he was saying. And we were able to do that. Plus, a historical thing we did was we got a forensic artist in Los Angeles to actually put together a forensic chart of what the alien looked like, the woman that he encountered.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just how we do research. I mean, basically, when someone tells a story, you have to go back 40 years and research the whole background.
Oh, yeah, but there's so many out there. They keep, they come up with the same thing if it has to be fake and all of that. What I really don't like are the ones that are always into the negativity. They keep trying to say, this is bad, this is negative, they're out to hurt us. I've never found that at all in my work.
Well, you know, I think that the people that are like that are putting out an agenda of the evil alien attacking the Earth,
yeah.
First of all, it would have happened a long time ago. And second of all, they may be preparing us for a very strange kind of scenario, because I think a lot of the modern, you know, back-engineered planes and equipment we have could pass for UFOs, and I'd hate to think that we were shooting at our own stuff, or that we were, you know, we were looking at a back-engineered craft that we had done, and that we're going to fake some kind of alien invasion. I don't think that aliens need to invade. I mean, the aliens that Colonel Corso talks about said that their technology was so advanced that they would never, never use, you know, our kind of technology of bombs and guns and so forth. Their technology, I mean, they can walk through walls. They can appear in a minute. They can do all kinds of things. Why would they ever use this antiquated way of warfare?
Yeah, that's what in my work they said. We would just simply disappear and reappear somewhere else. You know, they can make the whole, they change the vibration of the craft, and they can just go into another dimension.
Yeah, they wouldn't need to be shooting. I mean,
they don't. There's no need for that. That's what, to me, so many, I talk to people who are so much into the fear, and I said there has never been any example of they've ever hurt anyone. Not really. It's all based on fear. And, you know, I've done thousands and thousands of cases. I've been doing this now for 30 years, and I have found positive. And that's where I'm coming from, anyway.
Well, it's better to look at this in an objective way than to attribute good and evil. But humanity has been raised around good and evil. I mean, it's religious. It's the way we've been raised from the beginning. And we have to label everything good and evil. And in the end, it isn't. It just is. I mean, it's an alien is just an alien. A human is just a human. Mm-hmm. It's not the judgments that we're placing around an unknown situation is pretty bad. But it is based around fear, and people tend to do that. But what I like about the discipline of exopolitics, it deals with galactic diplomacy. And evidently, these beings or these aliens or these people haven't gone to the top brass. They've gone to regular people, especially with the contact scenario. They go to the regular people. I mean, people have contact when they're working in the fields, when they're driving a car, within, you know, in their homes. The contact comes to the regular people. So I think what we need to learn is how to communicate on a very respectful way with these cosmic cultures.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I deal with. I deal with a lot of those things like that. But what I found, too, is that fear is the strongest emotion that a human has. And when you don't understand something, you fear it without even trying to understand what's behind it. That's the problem, because that's our nature. We go back to the animal nature of the humans, and we always bring up the fear part. If we can eliminate that, we can try to understand what's really happening.
Well, I think one of the ways of eliminating it is education and reading, and even the Congress. You know, it's really nice there, because they can come up and speak to you. I mean, you're at your table, and after you've spoken, I've seen people come up and talk to you and ask you questions. And that kind of education or that kind of contact with people that do this kind of study is worth it.
Yeah. Because I get tons of emails from people who have had experiences, and many of them don't understand it. And that's why I try to help them to understand it, just like the experiencer groups that they're going to have at the conference. once you can be with somebody who can talk to about it, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and in a way, they're kind of special with people that have had some kind of contact. I've had to do this research just blindly because, you know, I've never seen anything or had contact or never seen a UFO, but, you know, on a very objective level, I realize that it's a reality.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm like you, I've been involved with it so long that there's no question in my mind. I know it's real. But, okay, we still got some more time here. Have you got any more stories you want to tell about some of the cases you've investigated?
Well, you know, there's cases that I investigate are usually military-involved cases. And,
okay.
And they're usually, you know, I've done the, I don't know if you've ever heard of the case of Dr. Michael Wolf Cruvant, who, it's a case where he worked for the intelligence community, but as a child, he was contacted, and a lot of times when a lot of these people, and a lot of the military people, too, are contacted as children. Michael Wolf, when he was 3 years old, was disappeared off his balcony. His brother saw him just disappear, and then he was found in the woods wandering around. His IQ just jumped to a high level, and his science teacher recommended in the 50s that he be looked at. So the thing is that someone like Michael, who has ESP abilities, says that he was indoctrinated to be an interface with alien beings.
Yeah.
Because the language that there is no language. The ESP is the only way. The extrasensory perception, the telepathic communication is the only way that a lot of this takes place. And so someone who's been, you know, taken, or like Clifford Stone is another one of my witnesses. He also, as a child, they knew that he had been contacted. And Clifford Stone, at the age of 16, was asked to be in the special branch of the Army, and he didn't know what he was doing there until he went to clean up his first crash and realized there were live beings. And in that case, because he had ESP abilities, he was useful to the Army. And Clifford's story is also in connecting the dots, and he is also in military. So these people already, someone knows in our military who the contactees are. The fact that they have these extra, the ESP, the telepathic abilities, and they're used to communicate with the beings, whether it be a crash or whether beings are held as guests. You know, usually at the Area 51 S4 facility or whatever. You know, so there's this idea, even though I have their word-for-word interviews in my book, makes me as a journalist start thinking that maybe humanity needs to develop ESP, or we need to trust our intuition more, and we need to work in that area. I'm really happy Russell Targ will be doing remote viewing and ESP experiments with us in Laughlin, because this is the only way you can have any kind of communication. I don't think these cosmic cultures go to school to learn French, Italian, English, and all these languages.
Yeah, though, that's what I found in my work. It is all done mind to mind. And they communicate with concepts. Where we go, they said it's so amusing because we go one word after the other to make a sentence, to make a paragraph, when they can communicate a whole concept in one symbol. That's how they communicate. It is all mind-to-mind. So we have a long way to go that way. But, yeah, you're on the right track. We need to develop that more, even though we're taking baby steps compared to what they can do.
We're taking baby steps, but there's a danger when you develop it. And I've got this in my book, too. It's that you can tell when somebody's lying.
Oh, yeah. That's what someone said. What happens whenever you start communicating mind to mind telepathically? The first thing that happens is that you have to be honest.
Right.
Because there's no lying when you're doing it like that.
That presents a problem. You know, if you look at a lot of the political situations, you know, I mean, it's it's we become dangerous. I mean, suppose that everybody developed ESP abilities, right? We could tell, you know, we could tell right away with gut feeling.
Yeah, there
would no one
could
lie. Lying to us.
We couldn't hide it.
No, and we wouldn't. Maybe we wouldn't put up with what we've been putting up with. And in a way, maybe that's what the lesson is. Have you ever thought about what the lesson that the cosmic cultures of the aliens are trying to teach us? Other than the fact that we're destroying the planet?
Yeah, that's what I've written about. It's all of that. So I found a lot of information out.
Yeah, well, I think we're being taught. I think this is school.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you could instead of looking at it fearfully, you could look at it as kind of exciting. I mean, that's a possibility.
Of course, they do have the rule of non-interference, and all they can do is watch, and I know they sit there shaking their heads at us. What are these kids doing now?
Yeah, the whole entire phenomenon was really accelerated by the Roswell incident, which is when we opened Pandora's box.
Yeah.
In discovering the nuclear, the atom bomb. So anybody that studies this, it'll make sense to them. I mean,
that's what I write about, because it was like the UFO phenomena began to increase after the development of the atomic bomb.
Right.
And so that's why they began paying attention to us and began coming and watching us closer.
Well, we became dangerous. I mean, we're playing with dangerous toys. I mean,
it's just like, what are these kids up to? They can't handle this, you know. They're playing around with something they can't handle.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. You know, that's all part of it for people that are interested in it.
Because they consider us like little kids, little children.
Yeah, and in a sense we are. We haven't really come a long way. We're kind of a primitive tribal warfare situation. I have, in my new book, Exopolitics, How Do You Speak to a Ball of Light, I have a whole chapter on who speaks for planet Earth, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if we wanted to be the planet Earth, who and some alien culture came to contact us, where would they go? I mean, they go to China? Would they go to America? Would they go? There's no unified way of dealing with humanity. I mean, we don't have any representation, you know.
That's what people say. Why don't they land on the front of the White House, you know, on the lawn there? I said, because that would be the last place they'd want to go.
Yeah, they probably, I don't know where they would pick. I mean, they don't know that's the United States. They don't know that China is China. They just see this blue planet, you know, in the galaxy and see these humans scurrying around, and they probably don't know the political structures. I mean, where would they go? That's why I like Close Encounters so much. I mean, I love that film. I can watch it 20 million times. It's still a very, very effective film, because François Truffaut plays Jacques Vallée in that film, says, you know, the people that these aliens want to talk to have been invited. It's been an invitation. And he lets, you know, Richard Dreyfuss through because it was an invitation. In the meantime, they prepared all these military astronauts to go with them, and those guys don't go, but Richard Dreyfuss goes. You know, it's like, he's just one of the people. It's just a beautifully made movie. I think Spielberg is an insider, though, Dolores. I think he knows a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, E.T.
Oh, I always liked that movie, too, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, and he also did E.T., which makes me cry every time I see it. You know, it's like...
See, there again, that I liked it because it went to the positive. It didn't plant. It didn't paint them as... negative invaders, because this is really what it's more all about, is they're trying to come and connect with us. But what I've got in my work is they're afraid of us.
Well, we're kind of we kind of lose it. We're not very stable.
Now, because of our violence and everything, they really would rather keep their distance from us. That's what I found.
Well, I did go to see Billy Meyer in Switzerland, and Billy Meyer in the Pleiadian case. And in the book, And Still They Fly, it mentions that the Pleiadians, who look just like us, you know, said that they have a machine aboard that measures human brainwaves. If they think you're going to have some kind of a reaction to them, they don't want you to come close because they're afraid of you.
Oh, yeah. Well, is Billy Meyer still alive?
Yeah, he's still there, and on Sundays they have an open house at in Jemet Rudy. Anybody can go. They also have a prayer meditation for peace.
Okay.
And yeah, and he's still writing. I mean, he's still. I think his contacts are more telepathic now than physical, but all kinds of strange things still happen there. And I saw him and you know, talked to him, and I really do believe that story. I think one of the reasons why that's been shut down is because the aliens look like us. I mean, Semyazi and Asket have blonde hair, blue eyes, and
yeah.
The father had beard just like us, and they come from the Pleiades. But then the Native Americans say that the Lakota and different tribes say that their ancestors come from the Seven Sisters, which are the Pleiades. I mean, they come from the heavens.
Yeah, one of my books is that exact story.
Yeah, the Kashina doll is also an extraterrestrial. They're the ancestors of the you know, original people on the planet.
One of my books is called The Legend of Star Crash, and it goes back through the Indian legends and how they all descended from that. And it does trace it back to that and their belief systems.
Well, they knew the truth.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm watching the clock. You can believe I told you the hour goes fast. But can you give out the UFO Congress's website, or if anybody wants more information about them, tell them how they can contact them or find out about them.
Okay, well, it's the website is www.ufocongress.com, and it has several pages of how to register online, which is really easy to do, and there's several packets. You can go the weekend, or you can go for part of the week, and there's different packets and different options for the hotel. So you can register online. There's the schedule. There's the speakers. It tells you transportation, because if you fly into Las Vegas, you need to take the shuttle to Laughlin. So everything that they need for the Congress, the UFO Congress, is online, and even with the registration packets that they have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I didn't know that they could break it up, but this year they are. They're breaking it up so they can just do the weekends.
Yeah, there's the weekend package. There's the full package, and there's an in-between package. But the full package is 9 nights of hotel accommodations, 8 days of speaker presentations, admission to the film festival, access to 35 exhibitors, the keynote dinner, the speaker cocktail party, and, of course, the big party, the one you were talking about, the Academy Awards, which is Saturday night.
Okay. All right. Now, before we go, tell anybody how they can get a hold of you or how they can, you know, your website.
Okay, my website, I'm Italian, so my name is Paola, P-A-O-L-A. It's www.paolaharris, H-A-R-R-I-S, .com, paolaharris.com, and my website is in 4 different languages. It's in German, French, Italian, and English. So there's a little flag, and they can click on the flag of the language that they speak, and then they can get all the latest interviews. And I also have a link to the UFO Congress there.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, we're going to have to go because they pulled the plug on me if I go too long.
Well, thank you for asking me to gab with you. It was fun.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you for coming on and being the guest tonight.
Well, thanks. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks then.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And good night, everyone.